What?
Hello, it's Norm.
Hi, this is Ruben at the Bank of Cardiff. Is this Norm?
Yes, it is. Hold on, let me patch Dwight in here. Ruben, stand by.
Right.
Okay. I got Ruben. Are you on?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I got Dwight on. Okay.
Hi, Ruben.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Pleasure.
Yeah, so how you doing, Ruben? We're down in San Diego?
I am.
Okay.
It's good. You know, we're busy. I don't really get to enjoy it, to be honest. It's nonstop, but it's not a bad place to live.
Good for you.
I want to just kind of understand, from what I understand, you're interested in, you know, partnering with our company or getting a relationship going where we're providing financing for your customers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, can you hear me okay? The connection's kind of choppy.
I can hear you fine.
Perfect. Yeah, the line just dipped out for a second.
My phone and the charger doesn't cooperate. Go ahead.
No worries. So basically, you sell not the actual windows, but the coverings for windows, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And do you what is the average sale size when you sell a product to a customer?
Well, you got to figure the average square footage glass of a building is going to be probably the smallest buildings we ever work on are like 5,000 to 8,000 square feet. So if you take that times the selling price of $15 to $20 per square foot, you're going to look at roughly, you know, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah.
Gotcha. Give me a second.
And you have to remember that a lot of these projects have multiple buildings. So you may have, you know, one customer, but they'll have, like Genentech, 40-some buildings, and Kaiser had all of, you know, L.A. built, you know, there were several, you know, I don't need to tell you how many Kaiser has. Go ahead.
So I think my goal is understanding you, and what I'd like to understand is Bank of Cardiff a good match for your customers? Most importantly, when it gets down to it, can we help your company and your sales team make more money and make your customers happy?
Sure.
So I guess the question is, have you ever had a equipment financing relationship where you work with a lender? Okay.
Now, let me say it this way. Yeah, I mean, on a personal level, I had National Funding built. We were buying equipment to build the
National who?
National Funding.
Oh, yeah, they're in San Diego as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, his name's Roman. I can't remember Roman's last name. But
Baloney.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So we actually bought 3 pieces of equipment through National Funding when we were in the development stage, and then we began the licensing process where we actually, you know, we have the IP on the equipment, and then we license that equipment to manufacturers who build the product, and then they license the process to make the panels. So we actually have use for not only equipment that we have under patent pending, but also the panels that the end user would like to have in their buildings. Like, you know, there's one building right down there near you, which is the Chase Bank there on Rodeo Drive. Now, there's an example of a single-pane building that needs triple-pane performance in order to balance the building out. So these buildings are all over the place. And obviously, a building that's the size of Chase on Rodeo Drive is, you know, that's probably $500,000 to $1 million project because it's a large.
But so you're looking for a lender, so a finance partner, to provide financing of this equipment to the end user who purchases it, and you don't sell to the end user, you sell to the distributors, correct?
Right. Well, for example, you got Chase Manhattan or Chase Bank. Let's talk about this as a project, because we have Transamerica and Visa projects that are already like getting. They already have purchase orders put together for us. But as you know, it takes 1, 2, 3 years for them to get their capital budgets together. But if we offered a leasing program, what the consumer can do, they can go right off of their current budget and get this product installed right into their basically an off-balance sheet a clear wall panel leased into their window would be looked at every bit from the CFO level as what the power bill is. So it's not a capital expense. So they have all been asking for, you know, can this product be leased onto our building so that we don't have to necessarily buy it leased forever, perpetual, lease anywhere from 2 to 7 years or forever, so to speak, if they can get it on the building because they just don't want to use their capital.
And are you selling to the person who's renting that space or the actual landlord?
No. The customer leases the space or owns the building.
Okay.
And then this panel, because it is detachable and recoverable. So you could take the panel back out, size it down, or put it in the window the same size. A lot of these commercial buildings are relatively pretty close in size, or they can easily be sized down so the films can be reused for a window smaller than, right, because you got to shorten the frame up. But for the most part, they're looking to, like I said, they're trying to get off balance sheet.
Okay, so I think in terms of operating leases, that just a little about our company, we're actually, I know National Funding, they're a good company. Actually, we're similar to them in many respects. We're different in a little way. Great company. What we offer is an equipment lease with option to own, dollar buyout lease, or an equipment finance agreement. So, from an accounting standpoint, this is not going to be an operating lease, but I think what you're trying to do with the customer, and it's similar to vendors that I've worked with, which is it's a very straightforward sale. Hey, you're paying X right now for your power bill. If you get this piece of equipment, your power go down to X, as long as the payment that you're paying to the finance company doesn't exceed what you're paying. As long as the payment to the finance company, your monthly payment, doesn't exceed your savings, it's a great deal. If it exceeds your savings, it's just like anyone, who's consistently renting a piece of equipment, or someone came to me and said, hey, look, you're paying X dollars for cell phone service, you're $80 a month, we got a plan for you at $60. Well, as long as, that's all I'm caring about, is my monthly payment cheaper? Here's what, and from what I understand also, you want to have some kind of letterhead with an approval on it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I can give you what I would refer to the real answer, not the sales answer. I'm more than happy to draft you a letter, but we don't have one program here at Bank of Cardiff just like you don't have one customer. We don't specialize in the huge companies of the world. If it was actually Chase financing it, they'd probably turn down our offer. But we specialize in working with small to medium-sized companies, although we do work with bigger companies. And I think what we could put together for, and I think probably what's the most important thing here is before, and I don't mean to sound this, be disrespectful, I want to value your time, before you put in a lot of time and before we put in a lot of time, I think the best thing is for us is to take a look at a couple of deals and see if A, we can approve these types of deals, and B, if the customer sign off. And if that works, if we see 5 deals and 2 hit or 10 deals and 4 hit, then we start scaling things up. I'm just a bit apprehensive of putting a huge program together without, this is a unique piece of equipment and I don't want to waste your time.
Absolutely. And just so you know, I mean, we take an engineered approach to this because there's 50 years of white paper on window films, right? This is suspended window film. So the beauty is it's easy to calculate what the energy savings is within like 2 or 3%. Well, the simple side to it is all you got to do is change the amortization schedule from a 3-year payback to 6 years, and you've instantly insured your gray area. I mean, you simply amortize it to be longer, and it's easy for the consumer to every engineer in California would agree on that. They say, well, if we calculated it to be 3.3 years, 3.5 years, and you amortize it at 6, well, hell, we know it would have we already know it would have a margin lower than the energy saved, right?
I can get you a letter tomorrow, but I mean, it's just a letter. I don't know. All it says is you're an approved supplier. But the way that other vendors have worked with us is it's what they'll do is they'll reach out to a customer and they'll CC us on an email and they'll say, hey, you know, we work with Ruben and John over at Bank of Cardiff. They're our financing partner. And just, you know, up to $150,000, we take a look at an application and 3 months bank statements. So it's pretty quick. And they say, hey, Mr. Customer, please fill out the attached application and 3 months of business bank statements and we'll work on an approval for you. And then, you know, we'd come to you and once it's hopefully approved, I'd come to you and I'd say, you know, your customer's approved and on a 5-year term, this is their payment. On a 3-year term, this is their payment. What have you calculated the cost savings as? And then we choose a term that is going to be obviously less. Their bill is going to be X and obviously their savings is going to be X. So our bill has to be a lot less than that. That's how we present the terms.
That's the way I expected this conversation to go. So I'm not surprised by anything you're telling me. So
okay,
all we wanted to start with is that we have some pretty nice deals right off the bat, and because they're big projects, they're a lot of money. The customer badly needs it. One of those choice projects is Transamerica Building. They've been working on this shooting for it for 5 years. Obviously, I don't need to tell you that I'm sure their financials are probably okay. They're not going to let that building go out, but they have a real problem with balancing the building out. So you can see that the need is there, the balance sheet I'm sure is there. The cost of this is not very much. And I think it would be a great project to start with.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a publicly traded company, correct?
I'm guessing publicly traded. I would guess the holding company is publicly traded. I would guess. I don't know.
I mean, I would suggest, and just, you know, I like to start every potential relationship with, like, the most real honesty. With companies of that size, there's a tremendous amount of bureaucracy that we have to jump through. Seen it where we jump.
Got it. Okay.
The issue is that while I understand from a sales point, hey, as long as you can save them the payment, you know, as long as their payment is less than what they're currently paying, it makes sense. We don't have the biggest success because we can sometimes work with a CFO or someone who's going to patch us around, and even though it makes sense, you get to a controller and they say, well, we currently borrow at LIBOR plus 2%, so even though the proposal makes sense, we just can't go into this transaction. And I'm just kind of giving you a fair warning of some things that I've dealt with larger companies. But what would you like this letter to say?
You know, just the Clearwall solar window insert. I think Dwight could probably just do a quick reply to you with the language, and I think Dwight's pretty good at that. So I think you just want to get some language that sounds good, Dwight.
Well, I would just say that we're an authorized vendor for solar window inserts. And, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with about how you'll handle those transactions. I guess that would be just that simple. But
I don't think the letter, I mean, it's something where I'm not going to push back on you, but these type of letters have never brought me or any vendors I work with any type of success.
Let me tell you where this letter is going to be used. So we got the principal at PG&E. PG&E is looking, they've got 10 million megawatts, and they're not only looking at our technology, but the funding sources to get it done. The reason why they're 10 million megawatts behind, or 10 million kilowatts, I can't remember, 10 kilowatts or megawatts, behind, it's because the consumers don't have the funds to get it into the building. And so capital is so stretched that the PG&E is not meeting its goals. So what they were looking for is not only can I bring the product forward because it outperforms everything, and you bring the funding instrument along with it. And that then, that consumer can hand that payment, but over to the power company, and the power company will be sending those payments in because they would much rather have all of their billing done right through the power company as opposed to two different payments. You know, there's an issue with that with these larger companies. They'd much rather put it right into the power bill. So that letter will go to Felix Lopez and to Robert Clark, who did the Empire State Building and has the Transamerica, Chase Manhattan Building, and several other large projects. So these projects are already existing. I'm just trying to give some kind of credibility to the fact that we have a bank that says that they will fund the equipment of Clearwall.
I see, and that's the thing. We have so many programs. I don't know that answer. So it's I can give you a letter, but and I don't want to push away business, but I've been with our firm for 9 years and I've seen this go awry. I've seen people put together letters and brochures and templates and it really hasn't led anything. What has worked for most of the vendors that I work with, and this is just me being blunt, is we now have a financing relationship with a partner bank. Please send the application in 3 months bank statements. When we do these huge formal letters for these customers, it often doesn't end up well. It often ends up because then the customer, if the equipment can't get approved, and I'm telling you, I'm not familiar with this type of equipment. I've never funded this before. It is unique equipment. It is unique collateral. And so oftentimes, it's viewed as a customer as an overpromise. They'll say, well, hey, look, there's this letter. This is what I was told. I was told it'd be easy. So I don't want to be rude, but I'm a bit apprehensive with this type of letter, not because I just don't think it brings you guys any value. I think what brings more value is us actually looking at some deals, approving and funding some deals, and then putting something together nice for you. That's just my opinion, by the way.
Dwight, your take on this?
My take is he's telling me what his experience is, and basically what we should do is we have a relationship and we can explain we have a relationship with these people and explain to them that when we're going to bring deals to them and we're just going to have them approved and there's going to be a process. So that's basically, we do have a relationship. There we are. We're talking to them right now. You're willing to look at our deals. So
I get it. But, you know, we've got a trend. You know, I don't want to have to get all weather on the phone and then blab for 5 minutes and 10 minutes every time I have to talk to somebody that's a channel partner. Isn't there 25 words or less that can say, we've looked
at you guys,
insert.
You guys can make it easier. You guys can make your own credit application and send it to us. You can white label it. You can tell the customer, hey,
okay,
look, we have financing, we have credit department send in long-term financing. I can take a look at it, give you an idea of what's going on. You know, as long as you have, you know, your credit application allows you and your assignees to pull credit, that should be fine. I think overall that for these huge companies, these huge companies in this market, they're being solicited by people that are desperate to give them money. I mean, when you talk about the big companies of the world, you know, the multi-billion dollar companies, they have people knocking down their doors to give them money. For the companies that are smaller, that's anything under $20, $25 million a year in sales, that's probably more of our customer forte, and it's much harder for them to access capital. Capital markets are kind of split right now. People either get it in droves or don't get it at all. And I think for the smaller customer, we're a little easier to work with. I just don't want to set unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, understood. You know, that, and what was, you pointed out that if it's 2% over what, Leighton?
Over LIBOR.
LIBOR. Okay, I heard that for the first time Sunday. That's a different language than I'm accustomed to working with. I sold thousands, but I didn't deal with that level of money. But what we're finding is a lot of these projects, you know, if they're thinking that money is, they can get money cheaper, they're wasting more than that in energy efficiency. So I don't know why they're hung up over 2% because they're just giving away hundreds of thousands.
I've got a very good idea that might help you guys out and spool and kind of be like a checklist. Do you have a pen handy?
Yes.
So I think what's really good is because let's just use an example. Someone buys $100,000 worth of equipment from you. What are they saving on a monthly basis?
I'm going to do dollars by savings. So let's say $100,000 would save them they would have $30,000 in savings, but it would cost them $100,000 for the product.
So is that $30,000 savings per year?
$30,000 per year for 20 years.
Okay. So this is all to me, so it's a good idea to give you an idea of what will their payment be to give you a comparison.
Yep.
And this is for, there's a lot of different types of customers. We fund customers that have, are you familiar with credit scores?
Familiar with what? Say that again?
Are you familiar with credit scores?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, credit scores, yeah.
Yeah, so, and like I said, this is very unique equipment, so this is something that I'm going to have to go and we're going to have to learn as we go. It's nothing I'm going to tell you that we can definitely, you know, no problem, it's easy as pie. I just don't know those answers. But let me give you an idea of what is a customer going to pay per month if they, because you can use what's called a multiplier. And so you can use a factor and multiply it by the equipment cost to get an idea of what their monthly payment is going to be. And this is a number that's kind of, it's realistic. We can go down for the super qualified customer, but some customers that may not have the best credit will probably still be in the same strike zone, okay? So this is an idea, this is a good idea where you're not going to, you know, some of these customers, they have 580 credit scores, some have 650, some have prior bankruptcies. So to give you an idea of what I think is very, say, reasonable, a factor on a, say, three-year term is about a 0.37. So that means if a customer is financing $100,000 of equipment, they're paying about $3,700 per month. So using your same math of, you know, $30,000 a year, they're going to be slightly over what their savings. Now, they're going to own this equipment at the end of the term, but they're going to be losing money those first, you know, that first year. So probably the best way to attack this is potentially a slightly longer term. So if we look at, say, a four-year term, it's about a 0.28. So that means if they're funding $100,000 of equipment, $100,000 multiplied by 0.02, it's 0.028, it's about $2,800 a month. So once you're at $2,800, that over 12, you're close to the savings. You're about $3,300. So you're probably going to have to do something, I'd say, on the longer term about to make an easy sale, which is 5 years. And at that point, you're at about a 0.023. So 0.023 times 100,000, that's 2,300 a month, and 2,300 times 12 is about 27,600. So if you're doing a 5-year term, you can tell most customers, hey, look, if you're financing this, if you're going to finance this equipment, you will have your yearly savings will be about $30,000. Your yearly payments will be under $30,000. And after 5 years, you'll own the equipment. So not only will you be saving something per month, you'll be owning an asset. I think if you do anything under a 4-year term especially, unless the customer is super, super qualified, you'll run into issues where their expenditures, it's sometimes easy to justify and say, hey, look, pay a little more and own something at the end of the day. But if you want a pure, hey, every single month you're saving money, 5 years is the way for you to go.
Sure. And that doesn't stop them from putting some money down because we also have rebates that come that can be kicked in and whatnot. So I went with a straight line, a 3-year payback with 6 years terms is even better as far as loans. I mean, you could always hit the numbers with that. That's why that's the way I thought of it. 3-4 year payback, and I was looking for terms of 2 to 7 years is what I was looking for. So it sounds like
We do 2 to 5. This is equipment that I can't stress. I do not want to turn away your business. That is not my goal here. It's just to say that this is not our typical wheelhouse, although we've done a lot of equipment that's not typical industry equipment. You know, this isn't a forklift or a skid steer. You finance some manufacturing equipment, correct, with national funding?
I'm sorry?
Yes, that's correct.
You finance manufacturing equipment. So that's typical equipment.
Right, with equipment. That's right.
And so that's equipment that we do a ton of, and we'd love to do that for you if you have an interest in other equipment, because that's a really easily defined asset. This is a different type of product, which I don't have the answers for you. It's a very different type of category, but I think what would probably be the best is for us to look at some deals. That'd probably be 5 to 10 deals. And we're a lender. We're also a syndicator, so we lend our own money. We work with other lenders. And after we look at 5 or 10 deals, I can give you guys some real valuable feedback and say, hey, look, this type, out of your customers, here's what we can fund, or here's who can get approved, Or I could come back to you and say, no one can touch this collateral. Or I can say, hey, look, these deals are really easy. Hopefully it's these deals are really easy, but I'd rather give you some real feedback instead of saying, I don't like to invent answers. That's my biggest thing here.
Right. So while you're saying you were approved, you're not saying that you approved it through underwriters.
It's a completely useless letter because
So that's what I thought we were getting. I thought we were dealing with an underwritten group that would be able to underwrite the equipment that they could approve.
Each deal is so unique. Every deal you're going to send over is going to be unique. Because unless you're if you could tell me, hey, all my customers have been in 5 years, they have this type of credit, but the vendors that we work with, I got to tell you, their deals are all over the map. They'll send in one deal one day that it's a small business that has trouble credit. The next day, a business that's doing well that is bouncing checks. The next day, a business that's going great and just is really busy. And so that's my whole issue. There's so many different clients, but we're not going to tell your customers, hey, there's 18 different programs. We're going to say, here's the best program you qualify for because that's what our job is to do.
Right. Okay, so with that said, I would assume the customers we're talking about, like Visa, I would assume that these guys have A-credit companies. I would have to think that from being A-credit companies that there would be a whole lot less issues that when they agree to pay. Remember this, there's a whole lot of boxes they're going to check on its performance. They're going to know what this product is doing before they ever sign for it. I can assure you of that. So now you've got a customer that now knows what the product is doing, and they know what the and they're typically going to be A-rated clients. So with that said, doesn't underwriting typically look at the fact the strength of the customer? The customer is already measured.
No, absolutely.
That's about as no-brainer as you can get, isn't it?
I help underwrite files here as well. And this is kind of my guess, and it's just a guess. If you're selling to A-credit customers, it's just probably the collateral that's different. Because those customers, like I said, are being solicited constantly. I have A-credit customers myself. They like working with us, but their phone's constantly getting deluged with offers to lend them money. And so I think probably if you've been working with customers for a while and they're just putting off the sale because they're lining up their, they're lining up their books, so to speak, in their financing, it's probably the collateral. Absolutely take a look at the customer. But the collateral is the most unique aspect. It's something that I'm looking for to figure out, but it's a very unique aspect. It's a very unique part of the transaction because...
What are you collateralizing? The building, or are you collateralizing the equipment that we're selling them?
No, just the equipment.
That's what I thought. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, that explains it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We never put liens on real estate.
Of course. Yeah, that's being equipment and off-balance sheet. What that does is, according to the groups that we've spoken with, they're really interested in this because that's what they want. They want the equipment to be its own. They want to lease that equipment on their building. That's all they want to do. They don't want to go through it being on the balance sheet. That's what they've been asking for. So it sounds to me like everything I've just heard is exactly what
A dollar buyout lease, is that off balance sheet? I'm not an accountant. I'm not there to give that accounting advice. That's a whole other can of worms. But I think the best thing that I could suggest is, and this has helped other vendors we work with, is you kind of pre-qualifying clients and saying, okay, because I've given you those multipliers, and they give you a good idea what a customer's going to qualify. And you can go back to your potential clients and say, hey, look, based on our experience, we've got a financing company that's pretty flexible in working with on this type of equipment. Estimated payment would be $2,300, talking about 100 grand, would be $2,300 per month, and you own the equipment at the end of the term. Is that something you'd be interested in? That answer is yes. Then you move it to the next stage.
Right.
That is the most powerful tool.
I got you. Now the next question. Can the lease be bought out early? Can they do an early payment with no penalty?
Leases generally are fixed, non-cancelable payments. It depends on the program. Some of our programs have a discount for paying off early, but there's generally no promise to give someone a discount for paying off early. So if you're committed, you're committed.
Okay, that I will want to that will be a stick in the mud. So I.
Well, can your lease be bought off early?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and yeah. So what do you pay off with your lease?
There was a discount on the saw, two pieces of the equipment that I had. I haven't paid the third one off yet, but for the most part, I paid two of them off in half the time.
Okay.
And it was an early buyout there. So.
And what kind of discount did you get for paying off early?
You know, I don't recall. It was just for equipment, and it wasn't for this equipment, so.
Yeah, it's usually the way leases typically work is this, and this is kind of like, it's fine. There's nothing insidious. That's how they work. Let's say your payment's two. We're gonna use an easy, straightforward example. $2,000 a month payment. Okay, your payback over 5 years is $120,000. Let's say after 2.5 years you owe $60,000 left in payments. If you go to that leasing company, they're typically not all the time, but typically they're not separating interest and principal. So if you owe $60,000 and you say, hey, look, I'll pay you off early, they might say, hey, look, we're going to give you, hey, you want to pay off early? Okay, you'll pay us $52,000. Because why wouldn't they take $52,000 up front to reinvest in future expenditures? But that doesn't really mean you're paying it off early like a loan. So there are a lot of people in leasing that say there is no penalty for paying off early. And what they're really saying is, yes, if you want to pay us the full amount of your contractual payments, we won't charge you a penalty to do so. We actually give discounts on most leases that pay off early, but it depends on the program. Typically, our discounts range from 3 to 6%, generally averages 3 to 4%, depending on the program. We tend to price our finance agreements and leases a little more aggressively than our competition, and by aggressively, I mean cheaper. So we give the discount on the front end instead of the back end.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, I think that's just a matter of explaining to them which way they want to go.
Yeah, the most important thing I think for you guys, and it's not to beat around the bush, is to see like 10 or 15 deals. Because then we're seeing we need to show you value. At the end of the day, you're here to make money, I can understand that. And we need to show you, hey look, here's why this will make sense, here's what we can do for these customers, because the answer is we don't know. Until we actually see the customers and the equipment specs and the deal as a whole, kind of from a bird's eye view, I'm just, you know, giving you ideas. I'm not really giving you answers.
Right. Well, then I'm skeptical to bring you to the Transamerica project if we're going in there with a wishy-washy, you know, it may not be the project to do it with. But
if you've got a customer that's committed, and there's no push, if you've got a customer that's really committed to you, and they're a massive company and they have great credit, you can always quote them those numbers and say, hey, look, you know, we have a financing available. Just want to throw that out there. If we got you a payment of 2,300, whatever that amount is, times 0.23, if you had a payment of this, would you want to move forward now instead of waiting?
Right. Okay, it sounds to me like then you just send us what your application looks like. We'll do a generic application. I'd like to have something from you that says we're, you know, I don't want you to tell me, we didn't even have this call. I mean, I
want
to know that I'm talking to somebody
that
they
call. Oh, absolutely! I'll send you.
But then we'll send that out to get the process started for, you know, getting an application from a few of these customers. This way, we can at least, you know, try it to see what happens.
I'll send you my general application that anyone can fill out. I'll send you an email confirming our conversation. I'm a big fan of putting everything in writing, not just on the phone. So I can do all that. Just give me to the end of the business today, and I'll shoot you a nice email that goes over, here's X, here's Y, here's Z. Well, like I said, I'm sure if you have your own credit application, you can also use that. I think the best idea is for us to just take a look at a few deals so you don't have this – you don't feel like I'm giving you – asking for your logo and all this kind of stuff and then coming up empty-handed.
Okay.
But,
sounds fair to me.
Okay. So you guys are on West Coast time, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Give me about till 5 p.m. today. You'll get an email before the end of business today, and then hopefully, you know, we can get something rolling.
Okay.
Thank you, Ruben. Appreciate it.
You got it. Call me anytime, and let me make sure I've got your right emails. Give me a second. Okay.
You know what I'll do is I think I can just respond to.
I got it. It's yeah, Norm at Clearwall and Dwight at Clearwall, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Cool. Thank you so much.
And then we'll shoot it. We'll get the ball rolling with. Let me tell you another group that's involved, and I'll let you go. The one group was called Stantec. They were hired by PG&E. They actually do all the futures for the energy for California, and they said that the windows are the biggest problem, and they've really struggled with it's always been the budget, right? 90% can't afford the energy efficiency technology. And I've always said that you needed to have this product set up as a lease in order to work. So these are the groups that we can go straight to after we do a few deals. They're the ones with the 17 million customers that are with PG&E. So I think we can get real support if we can put it together.
Okay.
But doing the projects, getting the project.
Perfect. Yeah, give me to the end of business today. You can email, and hopefully there's a way that we can help you guys, you know, at the end of the day, get paid and help your customers, and go on.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Ruben. All righty.
Thank you. Bye-bye.